Father, my Father, we just magnify your name, Lord Jesus. And Lord, these things that I want to share are so new to me that I hardly have utterance for them. And my knees do fear and quake that I won't have. But Father, they're your word. They're your way. They're your spirit. So I'm trusting you to give me utterance. And I'm trusting you to give your children hearing ears to hear what it is that even these mortal words can hardly convey. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, my Father, that you'll open the spiritual understanding of your people. Their spiritual ears shall be wide open, and you'll give them understanding in their hearts, even if their head doesn't know a thing of what I'm talking about. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. Well, I've been practicing on this people here for two or three nights, and I believe Darla has generously taken extra time to make tapes of the message on Thursday night, which was on the Sabbath rest. And then Friday night, I began to share on the Laws of Paradise by Jane Lead. Jane Lead is a saint who was living in the late 1600s, and the Lord caught her up into the realm of paradise, as he did with Paul. And he taught her the Ten Commandments. What were the Ten Commandments in the Old Testament that now are laws of paradise? But he showed her the spiritual meanings of them. And it's not any longer any do's and don'ts, thou shalt not, or anything like this. It's showing us the heart of our Father. And we need to know the heart of our Father in order to walk in this realm of paradise, in this realm of spirit that we're coming into in the Feast of Tabernacles. And so this is some of those, you know, where the Lord speaks of taking out of his treasures things both new and old. And these are some of the old that he's taken out of his treasures. I have been reading them for several years and enjoying them very much. And the Lord recently spoke to my heart, I want all of my children to know these things and to understand them. He said, I want you to begin to teach them and break that bread very small. Not that you have to memorize all this. He said, I want their heart attitude to agree with the spirit of the laws of paradise. So are you with me? Can we go there? Not sure where we're going, but I hope we can go there. I won't repeat myself. I could review the first three commandments that we took the other night, but then I wouldn't have time to finish possibly. But as I said, Darla has made some tapes and put them back there. So we're going to begin at the fourth commandment. Is nobody going to tape this morning? It is. Oh, this is really smart. Don't even have to have the chief engineer over there. Because I wanted to read on to the tape so that you would have it. The place where you might get this book, The Laws of Paradise by Jane Lead, is obtainable from Larry and Betty Hodges, P.O. Box 728, Linwood, North Carolina. Zip code is 27299. And that's just on a love offering basis. If you have it, fine. If you don't, that's still okay. And so he has been led of the Lord to put into print and even on tape on the internet almost all of her messages, all that he has been able to obtain. And I believe it's God's time. She is a confirmer from that day. She saw the things that are to be for us. The things that she received from the Lord, she said, there are no people in this generation that that qualify for any of these things. But the Lord is revealing them for those upon whom the ends of the age have come, for that virgin church that he's raising up in this day. Hallelujah. Those that are not defiled with man, this man particularly. Hallelujah. And so we're going to start into the fourth commandment, which is in the old Mosaic covenant, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. And her remark upon this that the Lord showed her is, only those who are dead can cease from labor. Remember on the Sabbath day you're to cease from your own works? Only those who are dead can cease from labor. Isn't that true? As long as you're alive, you're doing your thing. You're working. And I know with older people who go to a convalescent home or something, the biggest cry of their heart is, I feel so useless because I can't work anymore. This is a very, to us, it's a measure of our acceptability, of our worth, if we can work and be productive. But when it comes to the things of the Spirit, the Lord is trying to get that out of us, to let Him work and to let Him order what He wants done. So in keeping the Sabbath day, the Lord says, in the Spirit, only those who are dead to self can cease from their labors and enter into His rest. Thus, this commandment reaches only the children of the resurrection. Hallelujah. And we trust that though we are they, the children of the resurrection. So there must be a rest in paradise. In that realm of spirit to which we come, we must rest. We cannot bring all the turmoil of this six-day man that we have been. All that savors of the 6 days' labor is to be ceased from. The true inward Sabbath is to cease from all sinful workings, either in mind or in body. Not doing our own pleasure, not speaking our own words. It's not keeping a special day. You have some contend, well, if you keep the right Sabbath day, you've got it. I've had pastors write to me and try to correct me, send me tapes and say, well, sister, don't you know, if you obey the commandment to keep the right day, the seventh day, like a Saturday Sabbath, well, then you're being obedient to the Lord, and He's pleased with that. And I say, I'm sorry, I'm not going to get into contention over this, but the Lord is revealing the reality of the Sabbath day. And if you will look in Colossians, I think it's chapter 3, it speaks of, I don't want you to look there now, I'm just saying this in passing. It speaks that the Sabbath day is a shadow of things to come. It's a shadow of something. Well, I don't want to walk in shadows, do you? We have walked in them long enough. I want to know the reality. And the reality of the Sabbath day is ceasing from doing your own thing. Ceasing from the work of the soul and letting the Spirit rule. Hallelujah. Can you say amen to that? Amen. Is that good? All right. So it's not keeping a special day, because when we are in spirit, we are in the Lord's day, and we are keeping His true Sabbath. So that should be true every day of our life, once we understand this, that every day is to you a Sabbath day. We're resting from our own works, and we're saying, Father, what is your pleasure? Hallelujah. Now you can turn to Jeremiah chapter 17. As I was pondering these things, the Lord brought this to my heart. I had never understood or seen this in this way. I'll just kind of tell you the story. Okay. The story of this portion here is Judah had violated the Sabbaths of the Lord. They hadn't given the land a rest. They hadn't set at liberty the people who were, they were allowed to, if a Hebrew person owed them money, was not able to pay, they were allowed to make of them men servants or maid servants, only for so long. They were to set them free on the seventh year. And if they didn't do so, they were violating the Sabbath. So there were many types of Sabbaths, a Sabbath year, the Sabbath day, the Sabbath in regard to liberty to their slaves. And so they had and the Sabbath to rest the land every seventh year. And they had just thrown all of these out, and they were just doing their own thing. And so on top of that, they had all this idolatry that they had entered into because of the nations round about. They had committed spiritual adultery from the Lord. And so in Jeremiah 17, Babylon is at the gate. All the armies of Nebuchadnezzar were standing at the gate, ready to come in and take Jerusalem. So they're pretty scared. And they didn't quite know what to do. Well, Lord, are you going to deliver us, or you're not going to? And so the Lord is saying to them in verse 17 here. No, verse 21, pardon me. Thus saith the Lord, take heed to yourselves, and bear no burden on the Sabbath day, nor bring it in by the gates of Jerusalem. So he's telling them, they're worried about Babylon. They're going to come and invade us and perhaps burn our cities and ravage our women and children. And the Lord isn't talking to them about that at all. He's talking to them about how they have violated the Sabbath. And first of all, he said, you should take heed to yourselves to bear no burden on the Sabbath day, nor bring it in by the gates of Jerusalem. But what the Lord wants us to see there is, what is he saying to us? What is he saying in the spirit? Bear no burden on the Sabbath day. If you're in the rest of the Lord, are you to be anxious and worried and concerned and shaking in your boots maybe about Y2K or whatever? Is that your portion? It said, bear no burden on the Sabbath day. In other words, trust me. Put your trust in me. Don't bear any burden on the Sabbath day. Take the burdens of that carnal man off, and you walk in the Spirit, and I will look after you. I don't have any burden for Y2K. I'll tell you why I don't. For many, many years I have known that we are going to come to a time at the passing away of one dispensation and another one coming in. And I see the pattern in the Old Testament. When the law passed away and grace came in through the Lord Jesus Christ, there was a time of turmoil. Remember when the temple was destroyed and everything? It says that the sky was dark with crosses. The people were being crucified at that time, and the temple was destroyed. Well, that was a tremendous upheaval in the life of the Jewish people. But this was a necessary evil in the changing of dispensations. And so I see today that there's going to be some necessary evils in order for this one order to fall and another one to come in. Because people don't change easily, or quickly, or overnight. So the Lord usually shakes their heavens and their earth to bring in something new. So I have purpose in my heart. I'm not going to fear, because he's already shaken my earth and blasted it out of the water and shaken my heavens. So I know it's for good and not for evil. So whatever he has to do out there, I say, Lord, go for it. Do it. The sooner the better, and help us to get on into the kingdom, into the new age. So I don't entertain any fear. I don't carry any burden on the Sabbath day. No, I don't. And I hope you don't either. Hallelujah. Because I know it must come. But we are not of those that shall bear the judgment. We are of those who are raised up to be saviors in that day. We are the deliverers. What are we doing with our knees knocking? I don't know why I said all this, but it must be for somebody. Okay. I shall carry on. And so in verse 22, neither carry forth a burden out of your houses on the Sabbath day, neither do ye any work, but hallow ye the Sabbath as I commanded your fathers. But they obeyed not, neither inclined their ear, but made their neck stiff that they might not hear nor receive instruction. Can you understand why the Babylonians are at the gate? Hard, stiff-necked. And it shall come to pass, if ye diligently hearken unto me, saith the Lord, to bring in no burden through the gates of this city on the Sabbath day, but hallow the Sabbath day to do no work therein, then shall there enter into the gates of this city kings and princes, sitting upon the throne of David, riding in chariots and on horses, they and their princes, the men of Judah, and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and this city shall remain forever. He's saying, if you will obey me, I will honor you. I will raise you up. I will exalt you. But if not, there's the Babylonians. Now, verse 27, but if ye will not hearken unto me to hallow the Sabbath day, and not to bear a burden, even entering in at the gates of Jerusalem on the Sabbath day, then will I kindle the fire in the gates thereof, and it shall devour the palaces of Jerusalem, and it shall not be quenched. Now, over in chapter 34, there's another portion of the Sabbath that they were not obeying. Chapter 34 and verse 6. I don't seem to have the right verse, but that's okay. The Babylon is at the door. Verse 16, pardon me, I didn't write it down correctly. Said, I'll read 15. Ye were now turned. No, I have to go back and tell you some things that happened here. This is the part I tell the story. I don't always read it all. When the Lord said, now, if you'll keep my Sabbaths and set free your manservants and your maidservants that are of Hebrews, they were allowed, I understand, to have servants in bondage from other nations, but not their own people. They could only let them serve them until their debt was paid for. If they had a debt, if it was 2 years, they'd have to let them go after 2 years. And if it was not, they surely had to let them go in the seventh year, in the Sabbath year. Even if their debt was not fully paid, they had to let them go. And so, verse 14 tells how they do this. At the end of 7 years, let every man his brother, an Hebrew, which hath been sold unto thee. And when he hath served thee 6 years, thou shalt let him go free from thee. But your fathers hearken not unto me, neither inclined their ear. And verse 16, by doing that, you know what they did to God? But ye turned and polluted my name. And to pollute the Lord's name is to make his nature seem unjust, cruel, unkind. And it caused every man his servant and every man his handmaid, whom ye had set at liberty at their pleasure, to return, and brought them into subjection to be unto you for servants and for handmaids. So I'll just give you the scenario here. Here's old Nebuchadnezzar at the door of the city, at the gate of the city, ready to come in and take them. And they're all huddled together with the high priest and with the elders and the princes of the people. What are we going to do? What are we going to do? Is God going to save us or is he not going to save us? And oh, pray really hard. And God is saying through Jeremiah, you have polluted my Sabbaths. And he lists the different kind of Sabbaths in which they have not been obedient and have not kept his word. And then he says, if you'll just do this one thing, if you will at least show a repentant heart and let your bondservants, your men servants and your maid servants that are of your brethren, if you'll let them free, then I'll put my hand on those Babylonians and I'll send them away. I won't let them come in. Oh, yes, 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 of course, we'll do it. They ran home and they set free all the manservants and maidservants. And, oh, boy, that's wonderful that the Lord would, you know, just give us such a small thing to do. And he's going to set us free from the Babylonians. So the Babylonians didn't go anywhere. They just camped. They didn't come in. God told them, don't leave now. I've got to test my people. So after about a week of serving themselves and making their own bread and drawing their own bath water, they thought, we don't like this. We sure miss those servants. So they called their servants back. Get back here. You're not really supposed to be free. That was just a mistake in judgment. And get back here and serve us. I need my water and I need my food cooked and so on. So they brought their men servants and maid servants back into servitude. Guess what? The Lord said to the Babylonians, have at her. They will not obey me. They will not keep my rest. Go into it and take that people into captivity. He said, I have delivered you unto the sword. That's what he said. Now, it seems to me when God would go to this extent that keeping the Sabbath is very important to him. Wouldn't you think so? Now, if we will take this and put it down into the spirit where we live today. I didn't understand this at all, but the Lord was dealing with my heart as we were driving along the road one day, just putting these things into place in my spirit. And he said, what is Babylon? Babylon is confusion, right? And if we are in a place of stiff-neckedness to the Lord, we want to do our own thing. We don't want to come into his rest and let him do his pleasure through us. Do what the mind of the Spirit would show us. We want to do our thing. Guess what? Babylon comes in to the mind. And we walk in confusion. Hear it. Is that not true? You go your own way and do your own thing, the Lord says to Babylon. Take over. He doesn't have to say that. It just happens. Takes over your mind. You are in confusion, doubt, and fear. But if you will remain in his rest and do those things and set at liberty them that are bound and keep his rest, then the hand of the Lord is upon Babylon and he cannot come and give you confusion. You walk in that perfect peace in your mind, confidence and trust in him. Amen. Is that good?
Amen.
I never saw that. I never even thought of that relating to our Sabbath, but that's exactly how it works. If you let him have his way and yield up your way to him, then you have peace in your mind. Otherwise, Babylon is ruling. It's taken over, and you feel the fire of it, because with confusion, there's always torment and distress. Is there not? Yeah. Hallelujah. And so the rest reaches yet farther than this. These outward workings that we do are a type and shadow of the son and the daughter, the manservants and the cattle within your gates, within the gates of the external man that are forbidden to work. Not only your spirit and your mind should rest from labor and commerce, but your outward should cease its trafficking as a wheel that is never at rest. Now, I'm going to take this down and break this bread small. I have noticed in my own life, in the lives of others, that the last few years or so, I'm hearing from the body of Christ, particularly from the sisters. They're saying, you know, we don't enjoy doing our mall thing anymore. We used to go to the mall, be some mall rats or whatever they want to call them. We just loved going to the mall and buying things and even just looking. We can't do that anymore. When we go there, we just don't feel that anointing. And I'll tell you, when I go to a mall, I'm only there about 5 minutes, I begin to lose strength. In about 15 minutes, I'm so tired. I'm more tired than if I had worked hard all day in my office. I think, Lord, this is strange. What is going on? But if I need to go there for something specific, I head straight to the place where I need to get it. I get it and go away. I don't lose strength. I just do what I have to do. But I don't let my eyes be drawn by the merchandise. I don't let my ears be attracted to the things that are going on. And this is what is happening. The Lord is taking us from that thing of trafficking, of buying and selling and merchandising and all that. He is delivering us from this because this is such a snare. A person spends so long a time, so much time spent in that, probably more time than with the Lord. And I'll have to tell one on my husband. I love him dearly, but he loves to read the classifieds. He'll get a paper every day, hastily goes over the news as if that's quite of second importance, reads the classifieds and reads and reads and reads. Well, I don't know how many things there are there that we don't need, but he reads them and reads them, and cutting out, clipping this out and that out and that out. And I think, my, you know, that's taking a lot of time. But the Lord has been dealing with him recently, and he bought the paper, and he's doing the same thing, and he came to me afterwards. He said, you know, Elaine, today I started reading the classifieds. I was reading it for about 5 minutes. I started to feel sick. Can you believe it? I said, yeah, I can. He had been praying and asking the Lord to bring him into the rest. I said, expect some things to happen. And so they started happening with the newspapers. And so that's just a homely example. I didn't think he'd mind me telling you that. And so in each individual life, it's going to be different. But expect that he's going to, if you ask him to bring you into the rest, expect he's going to bring some changes into your life. He's going to deal with those things that are trafficking in our outer man, the things that our eyes are looking at and our ears are hearing of the outer man that are really not anything that the Lord has for us. They're just something the soul likes to do. It's kind of satisfied by that. Do you understand where I'm coming from?
No.
Is he dealing with some of you like this? Just yield to that. It's good. It's the Lord. It's part of coming into his rest. And so we have fulfilled the time of the 6 days of work. And we have now opportunity to enter into this holy Sabbath. And we want to do that. And in this holy Sabbath, no work is required of you but to believe and to rest upon his omnipotency to bring all to you. There's no need to wander out from your tabernacle, the tabernacle which the Lord has pitched to gather food, because it's going to be rained down upon your tent if you continue in this holy rest of believing. Before we left home, we had purchased something for our computer. Like we have a tape duplicator now. And sometimes the situations in which we make our tapes are in home meetings and so on. And the tapes are not always the best. There's interruptions, coughing, phone calls, what have you. And so we need to clean up our tapes to make them better. So we bought something to put in the computer that will do that. But I don't have any expertise in knowing how to put this together. So I bought it in faith that the Lord would send somebody who knew. I think I only had that device in my house sitting on my desk for about 2 days. And he, in his sovereignty, caused us to meet a family. The young man has a little computer business. I mentioned this to him. Oh, he said, I know all about that. When you get back, Elaine, give me a call. I'll come over and see you and set you up. And he is a Christian who's out of the system and hungry as all get out. I thought, oh, my father, there was no need for me to wander out of my rest to look for the provision that I had need of. I bought it in faith knowing I didn't know what to do with it, and my husband didn't either. I bought it in faith that the Lord would make provision for it. And so I find, instead of striving at what you have need of, you just walk in whatever he says. And even if it's kind of impossible for you, just say, well, Father, if this is what you're doing, I'll just take this step in faith, and I know you'll make provision for the next and the next. And he does. And this is a greater walking in faith than we experienced in the realm of Pentecost. Because we would do things there by faith, but in the realm of tabernacles, we do by faith that which the Lord says. So then it's not so much faith as obedience to the word that we have heard, which necessitates the fact that we must first hear his voice, then obey it, and wait for him to do the next step. And so in the rest, we don't have to try to make our own provision. It's going to be rained down upon our tent. We continue in this holy rest of believing. And how was it for the Lord? When he needed an upper room, it was there. When he needed an ass to ride into Jerusalem, the Lord, he was shown where it would be. And did he have to put on an evangelistic campaign to raise money to pay his taxes? No. The Lord showed him, just go fishing here. Just tell Peter to go fishing, and there's a certain fish there's got money for your taxes. And so this is a realm in which we have never walked. But it is a realm that the Lord is opening up for us, that we will just know by the Spirit his provision and what he has for us. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. This is exciting. And I'm experiencing in our ministry that the more we give to God's people, the more he showers again upon us. Last year, I would say, I had some teaching from the Lord. He said, I'm teaching you kingdom economics. Somebody would send us a gift, and the Lord would say, that isn't for you, that's for so-and-so. And it was some little Christian who was struggling and wanting to, walking in these things, but not having anybody who cared for their soul or their state. The Lord said, that's for so-and-so. Then the next check that would come, the Lord would say, that's for somebody else. This went on for about 3 months, fairly consistently. Finally, I said, Lord, what are you doing? I mean, I don't mind doing this, but why don't you just send it to those people? Why are you sending it this way? He said, I'm teaching you kingdom economics. I thought, oh, praise the Lord. That to know that if the Lord says it's for somebody else, and it's for somebody else. When I was down, I feel to tell you this also because it's part of the rest. I was ministering in North Carolina a year ago on the Melchizedek priesthood order, and I had asked Brother John Gibson. I said, please, brother, don't mention money. I said, you did last year, and I was so embarrassed I could have hid under the bench. I just felt awful. Oh, but sister, he said, people want to help you. They want to help with your fare, and they know it's, you know, quite expensive to come down here. So, you know, they want me to give them that opportunity. I said, I'm sorry, brother. I just feel embarrassed about it. If they want to give to me, they may, but I don't want you even to suggest it. I just don't feel right. And as a Melchizedek priest, I receive tithes. I do not take them. Levi takes tithes. I don't take tithes. And so, well, if you insist. So we had a three-day convention, and at the very last, and not a word was said about money. I didn't even let them put a basket with the tapes or anything. And at the end, after I finished speaking of Melchizedek, I stepped down, and the men started coming to me one after another. They'd put their hand out and take my hand and put some money in my hand. Then they'd put their arms over me and cry over me. Every man that came did this. And a few sisters came. I expected them to cry because we're always crying. But the men, I didn't expect this at all. It just blew me away. They just came and came to me and cried over me. I thought, oh, Father, this was so worth it. And I had told this brother, John Gibson, he said, well, let me know if your fare is met. I said, I'll never tell. But when afterwards I came to him, I said, I have to tell. I said, it's far more than met. I said, it's more than I would ever dream possible that these people have put into my hand. And it was so very precious. So we're coming into such a wonderful new way. I just felt like